biblical fasting. We'll take a bit of a break from our series on John. Those of you who are here regularly, you know that since the beginning of the year, we're journeying through the Gospel of John, and we'll get back there in a couple of weeks. But as you know, last Wednesday, season of Lent has started, and it's a time that many people use to do some form of fasting. We talked about this topic a couple of times before over the last few years, but we have some new people here as well who have not been part of us back then when we talked about it. So maybe for some of us, we just need a bit of a reminder of what fasting is all about, and maybe for some of us, we need a bit of an encouragement to really pursue this discipline. So we'll talk about this topic for two Sundays. Today we look more into the biblical principles behind fasting, and then next week we'll look at it more practically, how to go about it and how to do it in everyday life. Now, just to be clear, we will not call for a church-wide fast. We will not do the kind of, hey, let's all fast between now and Easter, because I believe sometimes God calls us into a fast in certain seasons. Sometimes it's not the right time. So we're not going to enforce it and say everybody should fast. But maybe through these two Sundays, maybe some of us get convicted, and maybe God speaks to some of us that this is the right time for us to do some fasting. And if it's not the time now, then maybe God will remind us in a month, in 3 months, in 6 months, and say, hey, now it's the right time. Now it's time for you to do some fasting as well. All right, so that's where we are going with this. Let's start with Jesus' teaching on this topic. Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18, Jesus said this: "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto man to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto man to fast, but unto your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly." So what is Jesus saying here? Well, several things. The first thing that he says is, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. I think nowadays, many people, many churchgoers, many people who call themselves Christians, have considered fasting as an optional thing. Consider fasting as something, some people do. Consider fasting as, maybe some more holy people than I, they do fast. And they think it's not for me. They think that's for some Christians, but not for me. Or they make excuses and they say, because I have a certain job, or because I have a certain health conditions, or this or that, and that's why I cannot fast. Well, if that was the case, Jesus would not have said, when you fast. He would have said, if you fast. So very clearly, Jesus has a certain expectations to his followers. He is saying, if you're my followers, if you take my teaching seriously, if you want to live according to what I'm teaching, you will fast. All of you. Second thing that he says here, don't boast about fasting. Now, Jesus doesn't mean that we are never allowed to tell anybody that we are fasting. If that was the case, then obviously any kind of corporate fast, any kind of fasting as a group, would be unbiblical. So that's not the case. But what he does say is, be careful where your focus is. If your focus is to impress other people, you will get praise from other people, but you won't get anything else. That's all you will receive. So don't make it look like, don't wear a t-shirt and say, I'm fasting. Don't just trumpet all over the place and say, hey, look, everyone, I'm not eating these days. Then we've already blown it, because then our focus is on impressing other people. Our focus must be, this is about me and my relationship with God and nobody else. And if someone else finds out that I'm fasting, fine. But I'm not doing this to impress you. I'm not doing this because I want to show you how self-disciplined and self-controlled and spiritual I am. I'm doing this because I want to deepen my relationship with God. That's my focus, that's my aim, and that's where I want my reward from God himself. And if you cheer me on when I'm fasting, great. If you praise me, man, that's nice, but that's not my focus. That's not my aim. This is between me and God. That must be our motivation. That must be our focus. That must be our goal. And if we mix in any kind of worldly praise or other people into our fast, then we've messed it up before we even started. But then Jesus does say there are rewards. Yes, it's a discipline. Yes, it's a challenge. Yes, it's difficult. But there are rewards that we can receive from God. And we get to those in a second. So when you look at what Jesus is saying here, it's really fasting is obedience to Jesus' teaching. Even if there were no rewards, we should still fast because Jesus told us to. At another occasion, Jesus said this, Matthew 9. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples fast not?" Jesus said unto them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." Now this term, "when the bridegroom shall be taken from them," is interpreted differently by different people. Some people think that this was the time between Jesus' death and resurrection. So the people would fast when Jesus was taken away from them, when Jesus was dead. So in other words, they say that's over. That's in the past. That has already happened because we have Jesus with us right now. In the bigger context, I personally do not think so. I personally believe that Jesus was talking about the time between his ascension and his second coming. The time when we are waiting for his return. In other words, I believe that Jesus here in this passage was talking about now, was talking about today, was talking about you and about me. If we call ourselves friends of Jesus, this passage says we will fast. Or turn it the other way around, if we don't fast, we might have to do some business with Jesus about our identity. Now, just to be clear, this is not about salvation by works. I'm not saying first we have to fast so that we become children of God. It's the other way around. We are children of God. We are Jesus' friends. And because of our identity, part of living out that relationship with him is that we will also fast regularly. It's about evidence of faith, not salvation by works, but it's about showing with our actions that what we claim to believe is actually true. That's why we fast. So the bottom line, true Christians, according to the New Testament, they do fast. Not just once in a lifetime, not just when they really are in, when they really need help or something. It's part of our lifestyle. It's something we do regularly. It's something we do as part of living out our relationship with God. But a very important question, of course, remains. What on earth is the point? Why should I just be hungry? Why should I just not eat? What's that reward that Jesus is talking about? I know enough Christians who tried fasting who eventually conclude, well, I don't see a point in it. I just feel hungry. I just feel miserable. I tried it, but it's just too hard. I don't really function when I try to fast. I only experience problems when I'm fasting. So, yeah, I tried. It doesn't work for me. And then eventually people say, I give up on this. Well, that's not really biblical fast. Here's the point. We take away something that comes from this world in order to make more room for God in our lives. We are physical beings. We have physical needs. We have physical wants. But sometimes these physical needs or wants interfere with our relationship with God. And sometimes we put so much focus on these physical needs or wants that we kind of push God out of the picture. A few practical examples. Nothing wrong with enjoying a movie, but I think we all know that it's very easy for us to spend so much time on movie or computer games or these kind of things that we have very little or no time for God any longer. Nothing wrong with social media, but it can really eat up our time. And in the end, we don't really have time for God anymore. Nothing wrong with enjoying sports, but if we are not careful, we can spend so much time on that that our relationship with God suffers. So the principle of fasting is we take something away from this world, we take that out of our lives so that we can fill that time or that energy or that focus with God instead. Now, and there's nothing wrong with fasting on something of this world, like I do a TV fast, or I do a social media fast, or I fast on my hobby, or I fast on other things that take up my time so that I can spend more time with God. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's also biblical, that also brings glory to God. But the main focus of biblical fasting, and that's what we will focus on today as well, is fasting on food. Giving up food in some form for a time in order to focus on our relationship with God. Now, there are different ways of doing a fast, fasting on food. We'll get more into that next week. There's the water fast that we see in the Bible. Jesus did that for 40 days. Some people do some form of liquid fast. Some people even do a total fast, not eating or drinking at all for up to 3 days. There's the Daniel fast, where he focused on fruits and vegetables and these kind of things. And of course, not everybody can fast the same way. Some of us have jobs where we need physical strength, and of course, that person cannot just say, well, I'm fasting, and then I can't do my job any longer. Some people have health reasons why they can't do certain kinds of fasts. Some people have life circumstances, how our bodies work. Some people are pregnant, and then, of course, you can't just fast and endanger your child and these kind of things. So we'll talk in more details about how we can practically do this next week. But the bottom line of biblical fasting is we give up some form of food for a time, and our aim is to focus on our relationship with God instead. As we fast, we will realize that God enables us to live differently. To some extent, we are all caught in this world. We are all caught in the fact, I need to eat. In order for me to have food, I need money. In order for me to have money, I need to work. And so we are kind of caught in this cycle. I need to work so that I can get money, so that I can buy food, so that I can eat. Now, this is part of living in this world, and I'm not saying that this is totally wrong and that we shouldn't do this, but when we fast, it gives us a certain sense of victory. It gives us a certain sense that there is more to life than just working, earning, buying, eating. There's something greater. There's something bigger that we can live for. We can have a different focus. We can have something that is much higher than just what all these people run after, what everyone else is running after. And we can live for a higher purpose. We can have a different kind of lifestyle. And we can have a different focus in what we truly make the aim of our lives. I can say for some of the seasons when I was fasting, I realized during those seasons, God provides. God gives me strength. God gives me wisdom. There's a different way of living. And so I don't need to be caught up and say, well, this is just how this society works, and I just have to live like everyone else. It is possible for us as Christians to live a different life and to focus on different things, because God has so many ways of providing for us, and he is not limited by how this society works. He can provide for us in different ways. When we fast, we realize God provides for all our needs. We realize God gives us things that are so much better than physical food. When we realize I can be in God's presence, he gives me peace, he gives me supernatural strength, he gives me supernatural favor, his voice just speaks to me and it gives me a whole different purpose, a whole different meaning of my life. In those kind of moments, our focus of life changes. And not just for a time, but hopefully for a lifetime. And then we come out of a fasting season, and afterwards we say, I'm not going back to the way I lived before this fast. Because the way I'm living now, with Jesus, in his presence, receiving peace and joy and strength from him, this is so much better. And I'm going to keep this up. And I'm going to keep on focusing on Jesus like this, because that's so much better than getting up in the morning and all I can think about is work and money and food and shopping. There's a better life. There's a higher life than that. As we fast, we sometimes realize, I don't need to put my trust in money. I don't put my trust in my job. I can trust Jesus. And that changes our perspective on life. And that changes what we truly pursue on this earth. So fasting seasons often help us refocus on what this life is really all about. Refocus on God instead of being caught up in this world. Fasting seasons often remind us of what true food truly is. Matthew 4:4, Jesus, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's true food, receiving God's word. That's what truly fills us. Not the next pizza, not the next McDonald's meal, not the next nice meal that we can have at home, but the food, the word out of spoken by God. John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Doing God's will is what truly fulfills us. Doing God's will is what truly satisfies us, and not the next meal. John 6:27, labor not for the food which perishes, but for that food which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for on him has God the Father set his seal. Here Jesus warned us, and he said, we will always be tempted to just run after the things of this world, including physical food. Don't be caught up in that. Run after lasting food that will not perish, that will not just fill us for a few hours and then we're hungry again, but go after true food that comes from God. Fasting often reminds us of this truth. John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Again, we can pursue this world's food, and yes, nothing wrong with that, but fasting often reminds us of what true food truly is. It's living in a relationship with Jesus, feeding on him rather than running after the things of this world. Physical food is necessary, but physical food is only a substitute. It's not the real thing. It's not what we should truly pursue. It doesn't truly satisfy. True food can only be found in Jesus, and it has nothing to do with physical food. And often, when we deny ourselves of the satisfaction of physical food, then we are more open to receiving something else. We feel hungry, we feel thirsty, we feel we are in need. And then what do? By default, we go to the fridge. By default, we just go to the snack box and we just fill ourselves so that this hunger feeling goes away. But when we are fasting, we need something else to fill us. We need something else that can truly satisfy us. And then we run to Jesus. And then we say, Jesus, you satisfy me. You fill me. I'm hungry for you. I cannot run to the fridge now. I cannot eat chocolate now because I made this promise that I will fast for the next few days or next few weeks, whatever time frame we are having. And then we run to Jesus instead, and then we realize Jesus has something that is so much better than chocolate. He has something that is so much better than just the next meal. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm running. That's where I'm truly getting satisfied. And so a season of fasting helps us to refocus on what truly matters, what we truly need. And that's what we should aim after. It's not about just feeling miserable and feeling hungry. It's about getting our needs met in a different place, in a different way. Running to Jesus and being satisfied in Him and Him alone. And I can say for myself that some of those fasting seasons that I went through, they changed me long term. Because of those encounters with Jesus, because of those personal experiences with Jesus, that I then said, this is so much better. And even when I'm not fasting, that's what I really want. That's what I'm really after. And that's what my life is really all about. Not about money and buying and being able to buy expensive food or these kind of things. My life is about pursuing being fulfilled in Jesus' presence. So practically speaking, what effects does fasting have on us? First of all, obviously, we spend less time eating. Let's not underestimate that. Eating takes time. Cooking takes time. Cleaning after the meal takes time. And so when we say, I'm not going to eat one meal, we save a lot of time. Some people, I know it's not true for everyone, but for me personally, that's true. Some people need less sleep when they eat less. Now, I don't know why. Doctor might have an explanation for that, but I do know it's true for me. When I fast, I need between 1 and 3 hours less sleep every day. And the third effect that it has is our spiritual sensitivity gets heightened. We are more able to hear God's voice. We are more sensitive to His guidance. We are more sensitive to His leading. We are more sensitive to His prompting. We can hear the Holy Spirit more effectively. Now let's put all these things together. We spend less time eating. We spend less time sleeping. And we are spiritually more sensitive. If we use this right, we have a perfect recipe to go deep with God. We have additional time. I can say instead of eating, I'm going to pray. I'm spiritually more sensitive. I need less sleep. So maybe I can stay up an extra hour in the evening or get up an hour earlier in the morning or something like that. And I can spend that time praying and speaking with Jesus and listening to Him. So we have additional time, we have more sensitivity to hear God's voice, and we have a wonderful recipe to say, I'm going to use this time to really go deep with God. I want to hear from Him. I want His guidance. I want His strength. I want His wisdom. I want Him to answer some questions that I have. And I'm going to use this time of fasting so that I can get the guidance and the instructions and the leading from God that I need to live the life that He wants me to live. That's how we should use our fasting time. That's how we should address a fasting season. Not just eating less or eating nothing for the sake of eating less, but substituting that time, that extra time that we have, by saying, through fasting, through eating less or even eating nothing, I'm going to be more sensitive, I'm going to have more time, and I'm going to use that to go deep in my relationship with God. We're hungry, and I say, I'm not going to be satisfied by the fridge now. I'm running to God so that He speaks to me and that He satisfies me. And then He will fill us, and then He will give us something that is so much better than physical food. Now, one thing we need to be aware of as well, other side of the same coin, when we are fasting, we need to be aware Satan will most likely also be more active when we fast. Satan knows exactly how powerful fasting seasons can be, and so we have to be aware that he might be more active, he might try to distract us more, he might try to just, discourage us from fasting and do all kinds of things so that we don't spend that extra time with God, but we spend it on other things instead. I don't want to scare you. I don't want anyone here to be afraid. I don't want to discourage anyone. But I do think that we need to be aware of this. When we are fasting, we also have to expect that Satan will try to work against us. And he will try to work against the very purposes that God has given us for fasting. Last question for today. When should we fast? The New Testament doesn't give us specific times or specific rhythms when we should fast. In the Old Testament, there were some specific days when they were expected to fast. In the New Testament, Jesus has not given us these kind of rhythms or dates. But there are a few principles, a few guidelines that we can follow. First of all, should be pretty obvious, but I think sometimes we need that reminder. We should fast when God leads us to fast. Sometimes God gives us certain promptings. And sometimes God will encourage us and say, this is a season when I want you to fast. And then, of course, we should be sensitive enough to say, okay, God, if that's what you want, I'll do it. Sometimes it's good to fast when we start a new season. Sometimes people say, I'll start the new year with a fast because I want to dedicate this year to God. I want to live this year for the glory of God. And so to start, I'm going to spend a few days or a week or 2 weeks or whatever time frame. I'm going to dedicate this year by starting it in a fast, dedicating this year to God and seeking God's purposes that He has for me in this year. Or maybe we start a new season, like a new job, and we're just like, whoa, this is a whole new thing, and there's going to be a lot of work and a lot of new things for me to learn. And I just want to dedicate this whole thing to God, and that's why I'm going to fast as I start this new season in my life. So sometimes it's good to start a new season, dedicate a new season, and bringing it to God in fasting. Sometimes when we need God's guidance, maybe we are about to make a huge decision. We consider marriage. We consider a new job. We consider relocation to a new country or even a new continent. Sometimes maybe we are just lost and there's so much stuff going on and we're like, God, what on earth is happening right now? Is that you? Is that Satan? Am I being attacked? What's going on? I'm confused. I'm lost. And sometimes these are great seasons then to say, God, I want clarity. I want you to speak to me about what's really going on. I don't want to just react to circumstances and interpret circumstances with my own wisdom, because that's going to fail anyways. I need to hear from you. And sometimes that's a great season to say, I'm going to fast, and I'm going to get some answers by fasting. Lent can also be a good season. That's the season we are in right now, 6 weeks before Easter. There is no law about this. There is no biblical command about this. But many people use this time before Easter to focus on their relationship with God and to say, hey, in 6 weeks, we are going to celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection. I want to come clean with him. So I'm going to use this season to see God about my sin, to seek God about my shortcomings. I want Jesus to cleanse my heart. I want Jesus to speak to me about my sin. I want to repent of my sin. And I'm going to use this season of fasting to allow God to speak to me and to tell me about the things that he wants me to repent of. So these are just some practical examples. Of course, there are other reasons to fast, but these are some of the reasons why many people say, now I'm going to fast. Now it's a time for me to seek God. Now it's a time for me to really invest the extra time and energy into hearing God's voice. And so I'm going to do that by fasting. And prayer and fasting, of course, the combination of both. Now let me close today with a couple of things that won't work. It won't work if we try to fast in our own strength. We cannot fast by ourselves. We cannot fast unless God equips us to fast. I remember one time in Shanghai, I had done long fasts before. I had done 40 weeks, not 40 weeks, that was a bit too much. I had done 40 days fast before and all kinds of things. So I know that I could cope with it. But then there was this one day when I just woke up and that whole morning was just horrible. I don't remember the details, but I think we had a fight at home and at work things were going horrible and everything. And I was just like, man, God, I really need you right now because this is just out of my control. And so I said, okay, I'm going to do that and I'm going to try doing that by fasting. I didn't last 8 hours. After a few hours, my whole body was just so miserable and everything was just so horrible that I just realized this was my wisdom. I just tried to fast in my own strength. In my wisdom, this was the right time to fast, but it was not God's timing. And so what I learned from that was really, we cannot fast in our own strength. And so we really need God to help us to fast. And in that kind of particular situation on that day, God didn't want me to fast, and that's why he allowed me to fail, because that was not the right thing to do in that particular day. And secondly, sometimes I hear something like, you know, if I fast, then God will finally give me what I want. That's not going to work either. Fasting is not a way to twist God to do what we want him to do. If people say like, okay, God, I'm going to fast so that I get this job. If it's God's will for you to get that job, he'll give it to you. If it's not his will, he will not give it to you. And it has nothing to do whether you try to fast or not. God, I'm going to fast because I really want to get married to this person. It doesn't work that way. If it's God's will, it's going to happen. And if it's not his will, it's not going to happen. And you cannot change God's mind or twist God into doing what you want him to do by fasting. That's simply not how it works. So we have to be careful that we don't turn seeking God's will and seeking God's guidance, which is the purpose of fasting, that we don't turn that into God, I'm going to fast so that you do what I want you to do. Then we will fail. Now I know we haven't covered everything today. There are still a lot of questions. But I can't do everything in one Sunday. So next week we'll talk more about the practical aspect. How can I prepare for a fast? If I feel led to start a fast soon, what can I do today so that I can make the most of this time? What should I do during the fast? How to end the fast? Something that is also very often underestimated. Getting out of a fast can take just as much discipline as during the fast. How long should we fast? These kind of questions. So these are the practical questions that we will look at next week. So don't think that I'm just leave you here with a half story. We'll answer them, just not today. So with that being said, let's conclude for today what we've learned so far. Fasting can be a wonderful tool to deepen our relationship with God. It can be a wonderful tool to make room for God in our lives. To say, I'm not going to eat, I'm going to have extra time, and I'm going to spend that time with you, God. Because I'm not eating, I have a heightened spiritual sensitivity. I can hear your voice more clearly. I can hear your guidance more clearly. And with the extra time that I have and the spiritual sensitivity that I have, I'm going to go deep in my relationship with you. I'm going to know you more. I'm going to align my will to yours. I'm going to hear what you want to say to me. And I'm going to do your will, whatever you're telling me. It can be a wonderful tool, a wonderful time to go deep with God. But our hearts have to be in the right place. Our motives have to be right. We have to truly have the heart to seek God, not to get our own will, but to truly seek God, to seek His will for our lives. And if our hearts are in the right place, fasting can be one of the most important tools to deepen our relationship with God. Fasting seasons can change our lives. They can change our lives forever. And of course, all for the glory of God. May we pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this commandment and living in a place like Germany in this time. Many of us really don't know what it means to hunger for you. Many of us don't know what it means to really, how much all these worldly temptations and all these worldly things, how much they really numb us towards our hunger for you, and how easy it is for us to make TV or food or other things, to make them our God, and how they affect our relationship with you. But thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, for speaking to us that you want to remind us today, I believe, that you want some of us to really cut off something in our lives. And you really want us to just press into you and make room for you in our hearts, make room for you in our schedules, make room for you in our everyday life so that we can truly be satisfied by you instead of these worldly substitutes. So Jesus, help us apply this, every one of us, in our own lives. Maybe some of us are called to start a fasting season now during Lent. If that's us, please speak to us personally. Maybe you're calling some of us, maybe not a physical, maybe not a food fast right now, but maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something digital. Maybe it's something else that distracts us from you, and you want us to really cut down on that. And if that's the case, then please speak to us as well and convict us, so that we can let go as well and find satisfaction in you instead. And yeah, also if this is a season for us to just learn and maybe not put it into practice right now, maybe it's not a season for us to fast right now, we pray, Lord, that you will also make it clear that we don't feel like we have to, or we don't feel guilty for not fasting, but we will also have that conviction from you that now is not the time. And we will be able, Lord, to live in that freedom, that now is not the time. So Jesus, please speak to us how you want us to apply this to our lives today. Help us to know your will. And give us a heart that is really willing to surrender. Give us a heart that is willing to just let go of anything of this world and to just trust in you and to just hear from you and just to say, just to know that even if we let go of these worldly things, in the end you will satisfy us. So thank you for your faithfulness and thank you that you are the true bread that comes from heaven. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We trust you. Amen. As usual, just take a few moments between you and God.